Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, a very special guest on Basic Gospel, he is Larry Alex Taunton, a columnist, cultural communicator, the author of The Grace Effect and The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. Mr. Taunton is also the founder and executive director of the Fixed Point Foundation. His work has been featured on CNN, The Atlantic, The New York Times, Time USA Today, NPR, Vanity Fair, Fox, BC, Al Jazeera America, The Wall Street Journal, The Spectator, and more. He's a busy man with a lot to say, and Larry, we welcome you to Basic Gospel.
Yeah, it is great to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, with that introduction, what do you do in your spare time, my friend? You're a busy...
It seems that I eat crepes.
That's not so bad.
That's exactly right. Well, for our listeners, Larry Taunton is just somebody that I've grown to love and admire over the last number of years, the great work that you do. You wrote a book, this last book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. Tell our audience a little bit about who Christopher Hitchens is and how you became friends with him and why.
Sure. Christopher Hitchens was a British-born author, an Oxford-educated, naturalized American citizen who really made his living as a man on the left. And at the age of 15, in 1964, he literally burned his Bible and declared himself an atheist. And these were things that really defined him until 9/11. And 9/11 set something off deep inside Christopher, and he defected from the left politically, and he began to attack many on the left. But Christopher found himself back in the good graces of many on the left when he published a book in 2007 titled God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. Now, you don't have to read that book to guess at its thesis, but an interesting thing happened with that. With the publication of that book, he as part of his marketing strategy, issued a challenge to religious people that he would debate them. And it wasn't Muslims who debated him. It wasn't Hindus. It was very few Jews. It was mostly evangelical Christians. And Christopher found himself, much to his surprise, liking some of them and in their company quite a lot. I was one of them.
Well, that's fascinating. Well, you met him at a something that you were involved in and had an interesting, I think, first conversation as he knocks on your hotel door. And I think from that point you knew he was going to be a guy that you liked. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, it is. I have to say, Bob, I didn't expect to like Christopher, and I certainly didn't expect that Christopher would like me. I had read his book, God Is Not Great. It is just a blasphemous rant against out of all religions, but Christianity, the Christian God, no less than others. And I thought the man would match the book. And he didn't. I found him to be quite charming and impersonable privately, and a warm friendship grew from that.
Well, I know you would think of Christopher as a guy that would not hold very many Christians in high esteem, that he would think very negatively, condescendingly toward them. And yet about you, he wrote this: if everyone in the United States had the same qualities of loyalty and care and concern for others that Larry Taunton had, we'd be living in a much better society than we do. That's high praise from a man that really just did nothing but kind of shred the whole Christian faith with his, with his tongue and with his debating skills and those sort of things. What did he see in you that brought about that type of comment from him?
Well, Bob, it is such a gracious comment from Christopher, and I would like to think that I always live up to that and deserve it. But of course, I don't. And What I like to think that he saw in me, if only briefly and on occasion, was the love of Jesus Christ through me. I think Christopher knew that I genuinely cared about Christopher Hitchens, and that I didn't pursue his soul as a trophy. I wasn't seeking fame or stardom. I wasn't in awe of his celebrity. I was interested in Christopher as I came to know him, and particularly after he was diagnosed with cancer, and it was clear that that he would not survive that diagnosis. And Christopher knew that I was pursuing him because I genuinely believed what the Bible had to say about heaven and hell. And I think that mattered to Christopher, that I genuinely believed it and that I was pursuing him out of compassion.
Well, Larry, that's just, an incredible story. And I think that's what people are looking for as far as Christians are concerned. Do we really believe what we say that we believe? I think so many people in this world give lip service to their faith, and yet in day-to-day life and the practical living it out, express a different set of beliefs. Many times we live as practical atheists, and I think that's something that Hitchens really could discern very quickly in people. There were folks that he called just frauds and hypocrites, and yet others he knew there was a genuineness. And I think that's what the world is looking for, is that genuine, heartfelt conviction that Jesus Christ truly is the way, truth, and the life, and that there's only one way to the Father, and that's through him.
I agree with that, Bob. I think that Christopher knew that there were many religious people, not just within the Christian tradition, but outside of it, Islam in particular, who were not really believers in the doctrines they espoused. Rather, it was all about power and self-aggrandizement and this sort of thing. And so Christopher had a great deal of hostility towards that. But as for those who genuinely believed it and practiced it, at least as far as Christianity was concerned, I think Christopher had a fair amount of respect for that.
Well, I agree with that. Do you think in your friendship, one of the things that kind of came through as I was reading the book is, you talk about the fact that he was a guy that kept two sets of books, one for his private, one for his public persona. Do you feel like he had insecurities? He just, as I read, it just seemed like he was a man that was insecure at the core. That he really didn't have a rock to stand upon.
I think that I would agree. I don't know about insecurity as such, but I certainly believe that ideologically that Christopher lacked any kind of firm foundation, and I think towards the end of his life he recognized it. I think he set himself forward as his own means of truth and knowledge and virtue. But I think we'd all come to discover, or certainly one hopes, that we discover, our own depravity and the limits of our own abilities to live out some of the things that we espouse. And so I think Christopher was, we are all, as he himself said, divided selves. So there's a sense in which there's a public and private manifestation of each of us. But Christopher said that this was particularly strong in his own case. And what I found with Christopher was, the man on stage who would give you the impression, a very strong impression, that he did not like religious people at all, was the sort of man who would debate fiercely on stage and leave people with that impression, but little did they know that we would go and have a 3-hour dinner afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's the most fascinating part about this whole thing. And you had the opportunity to spend some really long hours with him. You took two road trips, one from Washington, D.C. down to Birmingham, Alabama, and then another road trip to the Yellowstone National Park. And you did some things that I think would just shock people. You and Christopher actually opened up the Word of God to the Gospel of John and had a Bible study. Now, I don't think he was willing to admit that it was a Bible study, but y'all actually worked through, I think, the first couple of chapters of that gospel. How did that happen? Was that something that he wanted to do, or was that something that you asked him to do, and it finally just came about? And what was the result of it?
Yeah, it was something that I wanted to do. I had challenged him to it over dinner one night after a debate. He was saying some things I thought were particularly outrageous as it pertains to Scripture, and I just, you know, said half-heartedly, Christopher, I was just being dismissive. You know, Christopher, you make all these outlandish statements about the Bible, but I don't think you've ever seriously engaged it. I think you've just cherry-picked it. You know, I challenge you to a Bible study, and not where, you know, it's me versus you. It's just that we'll look at it like literature. Does the author seem credible? And let's look at the Gospel of John together. Well, Christopher, to my surprise, said that he would accept my challenge. But then the years, you know, started to roll by, and we never followed up on it. And we would talk, and it just always seemed like the opportunity wasn't right for it. And then finally, after his diagnosis with cancer, and he knew that his time was short, and we were planning this road trip, he said, you know, we'll have our Bible study on that road trip. And so we did. And the Bible study, as I talk about in this book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, which I'm so pleased to say has received such wonderful reviews from Christians and secular reviewers as well. The Bible study forms a very important part of this book because you know, here we were driving through the Shenandoah Valley, and you got to picture this, Bob. It's funny. I'm driving. It's Labor Day. State troopers are everywhere, and Christopher is reading aloud from the Gospel of John. His reading glasses perched on the end of his nose. He has a Johnny Walker Black Label Scotch squeezed between his knees, and here he is saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And it was just, I don't know how many Bible studies you've attended where, in addition to the coffee and donuts, scotch is on offer.
Yeah, I've never attended one of those, but it would be quite fascinating.
This was my first. You know, I think he'd have made a perfect Episcopalian, by the way. But,
well, the voice that you're hearing.
So all of my Episcopal fans out there, by the way, I was just joking about the voice.
Well, the voice you're hearing on Basic Gospel today, along with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me, Bob Davis, is Larry Alex Taunton. Of course, he is the author of the book that we're discussing, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, a fascinating conversation. And with a quick reminder that the phone lines are not open today, we'll get right back to our conversation with Larry.
So what was the, you know, outcome of that conversation? You know, as y'all work through that opening chapter?
After that road trip was over, the very next day there was a debate, and 60 Minutes was present, and Christopher stated on stage that we'd done this Bible study together, and it put a lot of people on their ear. You know, they just couldn't believe it. And, you know, a producer for 60 Minutes approached me and said, you know, I understand that you two had this Bible study and you're a Christian, he's an atheist. I mean, you guys must have fought the whole way. This has been the perception of many, and it just simply wasn't true. Away from the stage, the lights, the cameras, the fans, this isn't what happened. Christopher engaged thoughtfully. He engaged meaningfully. On the issues, he asked good questions, meaningful questions, and we discussed them. So he might ask a question about, you know, okay, so I see grace in the New Testament, but where's grace in the Old Testament? And that would lead to a discussion of grace in the Old Testament. And did Christopher believe everything I said? No, I think he believed that I meant it and that I believed it. But I think he had some measure of skepticism. But I feel like, Bob, I was able to take him to a point of decision. You know, the old, the overused saying, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I really felt like I had taken Christopher to living water. And the question as to whether or not he drank of it is something I just simply can't know.
Yeah. Well, at some point, you know, in that conversation and everything, he says, hey, why don't you and I debate? You had put on some debates. You had sponsored some things through your Fixed Point Foundation. And he says, why don't we debate? And were able to quickly put together a debate, I think, in Billings, Montana. And y'all met there. Tell us a little bit of how you prepared for that, what you wanted to accomplish in debating face-to-face with Christopher Hitchens. And how did that result? I mean, what came about as far as that debate was concerned?
That debate was fun. You know, debates can be nerve-wracking. They can be very, very intense affairs, and you certainly feel an awful lot of pressure for one of these kinds of things, particularly because your side, in my case, Christians, are quick to tell you, as maybe we all do when we watch Jeopardy. You know, you feel like you know all the answers at home, but people are quick to tell you what you should have said. And so this adds to the pressure. That particular debate, however, was different. Christopher and I, there was never anything personal in that debate. Christopher knew I was fighting for his soul. And Christopher, I think, wanted me to fight for his soul. He knew that he mattered to me. My preparation for the debate consisted of watching some of his other debates. I'd seen him in debate by that time many times. I had heard his arguments many times, and so I had a real advantage going in that he didn't have, and that is that I had kept a lot of my arguments in reserve. Very little of that was at that time published. My first book was not yet out, which contained a lot of my arguments, and I wasn't all over the internet in debate as he was. So I could watch him, and he really could only guess at what angle I was going to come from. And so I was able to, really prepare by watching, by reading, and also by recognizing that Christopher, while a very skilled debater, wasn't a specialist in the fields that he was debating on. Christopher's understanding of Christian theology, for instance, it was a dark continent to him. He never had a thoroughgoing knowledge of Christian theology, certainly not of the Bible. So I felt like I was able to hold my own in that debate.
Well, I think afterwards he looked at you and said, nicely done, or something of that.
Yeah, it was. He was very gracious. And by the way, I would add, there are any listeners on this, debating in this way requires not only a certain kind of preparation and skill, it requires some wisdom, because you can do as much damage as good for the gospel by stepping out and setting yourself forward as a defender of a topic that you don't understand. And so by way of example, I would never, the debate we did with Richard Dawkins, I would never debate Richard Dawkins on science. He would grab me by the floaties and take me to the deep end of the pool and drown me. I am not a scientist, and for that reason, I got Professor John Lennox, who is a scientist at Oxford University, to do those debates. So I simply say that to any who are listening: none of us are prepared to defend the totality of Christian belief. So you have to step out and defend in those areas where you feel like you have reasonable competence.
Well, and you did so well. Some of the transcript is actually in the book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, for our listeners. If you're interested in getting a copy of this book, we have all the information on how you can do so on our website at basicgospel.net. And I certainly would encourage you to get a copy of this book. It's one of the best written books that have come out in quite a number of years. As someone said, Larry, you're a writer's writer. You really know how to tell a story. It's compelling. It's really a page-turner. And so I encourage you, our listeners, to go to our website, basicgospel.net, click on the icon on the very homepage, and go and get this book. You will not be disappointed.
And get it in bulk.
That's a salesman for you.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That is a salesman indeed. So after you had this debate, you know, did you have much interaction with Christopher from that point until he passed away in 2011?
I did not. After that debate, we took a road trip together the following day through Yellowstone National Park. That was a lengthy drive. That wasn't nearly as long as our drive from D.C. to Birmingham, Alabama. We spent about 7 hours in the car together that day, and he wasn't feeling particularly well by the end of it. The man was dying of cancer, and the next day we said our goodbyes, and 14 months later he died. And so that was the last time that I saw him.
Well, as far as your book is concerned, what do you want readers to take away from this? You know, what I took away from this is first, we don't have to be afraid to engage with people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the gospel itself defends itself pretty well, that Jesus, can hold court and remain standing even, you know, with the unbelievable onslaught that skeptics and critics can throw his way. But what do you want readers to take away from this book?
Well, that certainly is one of them, Bob. I would add to that we as Christians have to engage, and that doesn't mean we have to always win. We are a culture that is about winning, and our God doesn't demand that we win. He demands our faithfulness. And so, at the end of the day, I didn't feel like I had to win Christopher over. I felt like what I had to do was to put the truth before him and let him decide for himself what he thought of it. And I think along those same lines, what I'm hoping to communicate through a book like this is, at the end of the day, it's really not about winning arguments. It's about winning souls. And so it wasn't that I was always, you know, more clever in my argument, or that it was even about argument. It was about relationship and so forth. And so I want to encourage Christians to do that. And then secondly, I think we all have a Christopher Hitchens in our family and or in our friend group. And that is to say, someone who resists the gospel when we share it with them, and whose self-destructive behaviors leave us with a kind of guilt. I'm hoping this book provides a bit of a roadmap how to process those relationships and how to build them with people who don't share our worldview.
Yeah. Well, Larry, thank you so much for joining on today's edition of Basic Gospel. This was a real pleasure, a real honor, and I just pray a lot of people will get a hold of this book. It is such an encouraging read, and I think it's going to be very beneficial to so many people. So, Larry, thanks for being a part of today's broadcast.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bob.
You are so welcome.
Yeah. Well, friends, never forget that God works through his people to get the message of Jesus Christ out. That's what Basic Gospel is all about, using every medium possible to share the good news. And we need your ongoing help to keep the good news on the air. Please make your most generous gift today, if possible, by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. We're glad you're with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.